This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير. Thank you so much for joining us this episode 19 of our series The Blessed Women Around the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. In our last episode we had concluded with our discussion on our mother Aisha رضي الله عنها, and we'll begin today the discussion on our mother Hafsa رضي الله عنها. Before we begin, a number of questions came through or confusion, just to clarify something. So we spoke about the demise, the death of the Prophet ﷺ, and people have said, but you only spoke about Khadija and Sauda and Aisha, and now the Prophet has passed away. What about the other wives? So, subhanAllah, in the way the series is structured is we mention the wives of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in order as to how he married them. The first he married Khadija, then he married Sauda, then he married Aisha, and then he married Hafsa, and so on and so forth. And we will talk about the life of each wife individually. So we're actually going to jump forward and back in terms of a timeline as we go forward. This is just something to understand. So yes, we will, we've got many, many more personalities to get through before the end of the series, inshallah. So just for something to keep track of, and this is a good thing, you know, subhanAllah, every Muslim should really know this. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, he lived for 63 years on the dunya, 63 years. 53 of those years he was in Mecca. The last 10 years of his life he was in Medina. At the age of 40, he receives Nubuwa, he becomes a Nabi. So for the first 40 years of his life, he was an ordinary man, in inverted commas. The Prophet was always extraordinary, but he was not not commissioned as a Nabi. The Prophet had not yet received prophethood, so he was 40. Of course, we said when he was 25, he married Khadija. So he was 25, married to Khadija. For 15 years, they lived together, alhamdulillah, and then 40, he becomes a Nabi. Then for another 10 years, so 25 plus 10, he was with Khadija. And only with Khadija. The two of them had 25 years of marriage exclusively. Then Khadija passes away. And we said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, from the age of 50, when he was 50 years old, up until 53, when he makes the hijrah, those were very difficult years of his life. Those last 2-3 years in Mecca, before he performs the migration to Medina, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was in a very deep, dark place. And our mother Sauda joins his household. Our mother Sauda, a mature woman, she comes in and she lifts his spirits. And he was married to our mother Sauda. At the similar time, he was engaged. A nikah was concluded between him and Aisha. But they weren't living together. So only our mother Sauda was married to the Prophet ﷺ. He performs the hijrah. Sauda, our mother Sauda, joins him in Medina and they live together. And then Aisha joins our mother Sauda. And the two of them are the co-wives of the Prophet ﷺ once he reaches Medina. And we said between Sauda and Aisha, there was, you know, maybe a 60-year gap in terms of age. Yet they were very, very close. They were very loving. And there was no rivalry or competition between the two of them. They loved each other very much. Now the Prophet ﷺ would marry another wife, our mother Hafsa. Our mother Hafsa, radiallahu anha. And she, who is she? She is the daughter of Umar bin al-Khattab. Sayyidina Umar, the great companion. We said in our last episode that in Aisha's house, there are three people buried. We have the Prophet ﷺ buried. Next to him is Abu Bakr. And next to her father, Abu Bakr. And next to Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anha. Who is this man, Umar radiallahu anha? He is the closest, most senior, most beloved companion of all the companions after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to the Prophet sallam. He was also the second caliph of Islam. After the Prophet had died, Sayyidina Abu Bakr became the khalifa. When he died, Sayyidina Umar became the caliph. And subhanAllah, in his time as khalifa, he became the most powerful man on earth. In his time, the Persian Empire was conquered. The Middle East, North Africa was conquered. Palestine was liberated. So subhanAllah, what a great sahabi, one of the great, you know, the most senior, most companion, the greatest companion, basically after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and of course his daughter Hafsa is also married to the Prophet sallam. So who's our mother Hafsa? Our mother Hafsa radiallahu anha, she was about 30-35 years younger than the Prophet sallam. So she was born a few years before the Nabi became a prophet. Before he became a prophet, she was born. And her name Hafs means a lioness, a lion. And in many ways, this is a good description of who she was. Our mother Hafsa was very much like her father. And if we know Umar, we know that Sayyidina Umar, like Sayyidina Umar, she was very confident, highly intelligent, highly educated, outspoken, strong, brave,
a little bit stubborn, a little bit hard-headed, a little bit hot, and she had these qualities. She was basically like her father. And these qualities, at times, you know, she had great things through it, and at times, as we can see, at times, it got her in a bit of trouble with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She had grown up in her father's house. She was blessed to be a Muslim. She grew up as a young Muslimah. And, you know, when she was a young woman in her early teens, she was married to another young Muslim man of Makkah, Hunais. A young Muslim man by the name of Hunais. That he was her husband. Before she would marry the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she was previously married. Like we said before, that Aisha would say of her great qualities is that all the wives of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had been previously married. But Aisha was the only one who was never married before. Hafsa had a marriage before she met the Prophet ﷺ, before she married to him. She was married to this young companion, Hunais. And the two of them lived in Makkah. They were practicing Muslims, and of course they went through the persecution like many of the other Muslims. And when things became so severe, they had no choice but to leave Makkah. They had to leave Makkah, and they had to go to Abyssinia or Ethiopia. Like we said, the daughter of the Prophet himself, Ruqayya, and her husband Uthman, they also had to leave Makkah. Sauda also had to leave Makkah, and they had to go to Ethiopia or Abyssinia, where they could practice the religion freely. So the young couple, they're alone in the strange land, and Hunais and Hafsa, they together, they're building a life in Ethiopia, in Abyssinia, very much in love, very connected, two youngsters fighting for the deen, when alhamdulillah, Allah blessed the Muslims to have a state in Medina. So they leave Abyssinia and they come to Medina, and they're part of the new Muslim community. As time goes by, we would know that the enemies of Islam were not happy that the Muslims had a state on their own. So war began to ensue. The Quraysh attacked Medina. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed for jihad. He allowed the Muslims to defend themselves with the sword, and therefore jihad began. And when the Muslim army was being assembled, her husband Hunais, young, brave Muslim, he joins the army. So he's one of the warriors of Islam. We don't know too much about the Sahabi, Hunais ibn Hudhafa. We don't know too much about him. What we do know is that Hafsa's husband, her first husband, was of those who fought in the Battle of Badr, of those very, very privileged 313, 317 men who fought in Badr, the best of the best, the cream of the crop. He was from amongst them. And he fought in Badr with distinction. He survives, and he continues fighting the campaigns a few months after Badr. There were other little conflicts, and during one of these skirmishes, he gets injured. And he comes home with this injury, and Hafsa, like a good wife, she tends to him, she looks after him, she does her best to heal him of this injury, but she realizes that, subhanAllah, that this injury is mortal, that it's going to cause him to die. He's not going to be cured from this injury. And so, as it would be, Allah decreed that her husband Hunais would die. So a young Hafsa, maybe 18 years old, 20, 23 years old, young woman, she becomes a widow. She loses the love of her life, basically. And she becomes, from her personality, she becomes quiet. So we say she's outspoken, she's very confident, she's a very out there kind of woman. And now she becomes introverted. And she spends her time patiently with sadness. So she doesn't show her sadness on the outside, but on the inside she's sad, and she devotes herself to ibadah. She gives her sadness to Allah. She worships Allah night and day, fasts and recite Quran to go through this hardship. Now subhanAllah, a young woman, she had left her home for the sake of Allah. She had lost her husband now. So she's going through this very difficult period. And her father, Umar radiallahu anhu, he's a very proactive man. He's a man that if he sees something, he wants to fix it. And he looks actively now, who could be a suitable husband for my daughter? And this is something that, subhanAllah, many of us today might find strange. How many of us would actively look for the good brothers around to marry our sisters, our daughters? Who of us would go out and say, who can marry my daughter, marry my sister? We might find this quite strange. But this was the sunnah of the greatest of people. Because, subhanAllah, you want what's best for your children. And nothing wrong for a woman to propose to a man. Nothing wrong for a father to propose to a man on behalf of his daughter. And Sayyidina Umar is a smart man. So he says, well, I want the best for my daughter. I'm going to look for someone that will help Hafsa. He sees how difficult, how sad she is. And he wants her to move on. And he wants her to be happy. So he looks towards the Sahaba. And subhanAllah, as it had been coincidentally, just as Hafsa had lost her husband, a Sahabi had lost his wife. This Sahabi, Uthman radiallahu anhu. Who is Sayyidina Uthman? He is the third caliph of Islam. He is the closest companion to the Prophet ﷺ after Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. So Uthman, he had just lost his wife. And who was his wife? We mentioned this before. Uthman was married to Ruqayya, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ruqayya, the daughter of the Prophet, peace be upon him, had died. Now, I pause for a second here. The Prophet ﷺ had seven kids, seven children. All of them, six of them, had died except for one. The Prophet, peace be upon him, buried six of his seven kids except for Fatima. Now, what can be more difficult than for a parent to lose a child, let alone to lose all your children? You know, just Fatima, basically, outlived the Prophet ﷺ. When we talk about the Nabi ﷺ, every kind of hardship that you can imagine, he went through. Every kind of sacrifice that had to be made, he made it. In our last talk, the night of the dead, when we talked about the barzakh, after the talk, a number of parents came to me who had lost one child, one or two sisters, and they explained how difficult it was for them to move on from this. We know that, subhanAllah, we'll bury our parents. This is the reality of life. Most of us, may Allah, you know, help us, we will end up burying our mothers, our fathers, because this is how life goes. And we will recover from that. We'll miss them, we'll feel sad, but we will recover from that. We might bury a spouse, a husband or a wife, we'll recover from a friend. But it is unnatural or very difficult. It's not normal for a parent to bury a child. And, you know, these parents told me how difficult it was. They, you know, they accept the decree of Allah. They are not, you know, ungrateful to Allah. But it is very difficult. It's very sad. And that's normal. That's how it should be. And we have hadith of this way Allah basically promises the parent who lost the child and perseveres with that, with patience, with satisfaction with the decree of Allah. Whoever does that, there is no replacing that. There is no reward except Jannah for that. Because it's such a great difficulty to bear. So the Prophet ﷺ had lost his children. The first of his children to die was this, his daughter, Ruqayya, the wife of Uthman. Back to Hafsa. So Hafsa lost a husband, Uthman lost a wife. Umar is looking to play matchmaker. So this logically means 1 plus 1 is 2. This is perfect, a match made in heaven. Right, so after Hafsa's iddah was done, and she was, you know, going through this, Sayyidina Umar goes to Uthman. And he says, Uthman, you're very sad, you lost your wife. I have a suggestion for you. I have a daughter, Hafsa. You know who she is. She's a good girl. MashaAllah, wonderful girl. Why don't the two of you get married? You know, you, both of you can help one another and you can, both of you can be happy. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, and his personality is very shy. He's a much softer man than Umar. And he was going through a lot of heartache. He really, really loved Ruqayya deeply. And, you know, for him, recovering from this was hard. And he says to Umar, look, give me some time. Let me think about this. So he thought about it a couple of days. He comes back to Umar and he realizes, look, I'm not yet ready to remarry. I'm still basically thinking of Ruqayya. So he says to Sayyidina Umar, I'm not able to marry right now. Now, of course, no one likes to be rejected. And Umar radiallahu anhu, of course, we can imagine, didn't take this very nicely. But I mean, okay, the man said no, no problem. So now he says, who else can I ask? Ah, Abu Bakr, my good friend Abu Bakr, my close friend Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one of the best men, Sahabi number one, closest person to the Prophet, the best of the best. Let me speak to him and ask him, would he be interested in marrying my daughter Hafsa? So he goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he says, would you marry Hafsa? You know she's a good girl, would you be interested? And Abu Bakr looks at him and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu does not respond. He doesn't say anything. Almost he's like, what's going on? Marry my daughter Hafsa? Abu Bakr doesn't say anything, not yes, not no. And this really not only hurts Umar, it offends him. He's deeply offended by this. How can you do this to me? First Uthman rejects me, and then you don't even answer me. Am I like not good enough? Is my family, my daughter not good enough for all of you? And he says, I'm going to complain. I'm going to tell the Prophet ﷺ at the way you guys are treating me. So Sayyidina Umar goes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, look, this is what Uthman did. He said, no. You're not interested. And Abu Bakr, he didn't even have the decency to say no. He just ignores me completely. The Prophet ﷺ says to Umar, Ya Umar, don't you worry. Hafsa is going to get a husband better than Uthman. You wanted Uthman, but she's going to get someone better than Uthman. And Uthman, he's going to get someone better than Hafsa. Ya Rasulullah, what could you mean? Don't worry, Umar. That's what's going to happen. few days later, Umar is thinking, what was the Prophet ﷺ talking about? He gets basically a knock on the door, as we say. Prophet ﷺ is there, and the Prophet says to Sayyidina Uthman, to Sayyidina Umar, I would like to marry your daughter Hafsa. Would you allow me to marry her? And Sayyidina Umar is of course overjoyed. He's more than happy. I never thought that, you know, I and my family are worthy of being of the Ahlul Bayt, of being married to the Prophet ﷺ. So he's more than happy. Of course, alhamdulillah, he agrees and Hafsa agrees. So the Prophet ﷺ marries Hafsa. At the same time, the Prophet ﷺ goes to Uthman and he says, Uthman, basically, you've deeply sad. You lost your wife Ruqayya, my daughter. You sad, I'm sad. But come Uthman, it's time to move on. And you know what? I want you to marry my second daughter, Kulthum. Ya Allah. So Sayyidina Uthman, he's called Dhun Nurain, the man with two lights. The man, basically, the only man that we know who had married two daughters of a Nabi, of any Prophet. So the Prophet says to Uthman, just like you married my daughter Ruqayya, I want you to be my son-in-law again, marry my second daughter, Kulthum. And so, Uthman is not going to say no to the Prophet ﷺ, so he married Kulthum. So the Prophet marries Hafsa, Uthman marries Kulthum, and now Abu Bakr goes to Umar, and he says, Ya Umar, maybe you were upset at me when I didn't respond to you. When you asked me, I didn't say anything. So Umar says, yes, I was upset. She didn't even like say anything to me. So Abu Bakr says, don't feel bad. Basically, before you came to me, the Prophet and I, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we spoke about Hafsa. Basically, look, they were buddies, they were friends. And the Prophet ﷺ, like any guy, he goes to his best friend and says, look, what do you think of that girl? I'm thinking of marrying her. What do you suggest? So, Abu Bakr says, the Prophet had already mentioned to me that he was interested in Hafsa. I already knew he was interested in Hafsa. And because of that, I didn't want to say anything to you. I didn't want to say the Prophet ﷺ is interested, not interested. I didn't know what to say, so I just kept quiet. And had he not married Hafsa, I would have married Hafsa. So if he didn't go for her, I would have gone for her. So maybe this conversation, we don't know, Allahu A'lam. Prophet says to Abu Bakr, what do you think of Hafsa? Abu Bakr says, wow, she's a wonderful girl, she's a good girl. If you don't marry her, I'm going to marry her. So the Prophet, of course, he marries our mother Hafsa, radiallahu anha. Now Hafsa joins the household of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And she now joins, who's there? Sauda and Aisha. We said between Aisha and Sauda, no rivalry, no issues. They carried on lovely hunky-dory. Between Hafsa and Aisha, there would be some fireworks, because both of them are young women. Aisha is in her teens, Hafsa is in her early 20s. Aisha says that I would see Hafsa as a rival equal to me. We would both be competition for the affection and love of the Prophet ﷺ. And there's no way for me to describe the relationship Hafsa and Aisha had was a little dysfunctional, a little weird at times, because they would be the biggest rivals, and they would compete to get one above the other. But when it came to a third wife, the two of them would stand together to destroy another wife, because there'll be other women that joins the household of the Prophet ﷺ. And when they were competing with each other, they were great rivals. But when it came to joining forces, they would join forces against a common enemy, as we will come to see as we go through the series. Just as Hafsa gets married, and subhanAllah, we look at the advice Sayyidina Umar, and it gives you something of the personality of the man, very strong man, very sometimes not the softest of men. When his daughter is now married, alhamdulillah, he found her, not just a husband, she got the best husband that they could possibly be. Now he gives his daughter, you know, he brings her back to earth and he gives her advice. He says, Hafsa, listen here, I want to advise you not to bother or disturb the Prophet in any way. He has honored you greatly by marrying you. You the lucky one, not him. You could have anyone, but he chose you. So understand who you are. Number two, know your place. If you need anything, don't bother him. Come to me. Don't ask him for anything. I will provide for you. And also I advise you, O Hafsa, don't compete with Aisha. Because you will not be like Aisha. Now again, I pause. This is not the words of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ never said, oh Hafsa, you are not like Aisha. I love Aisha more. No, he never said that. Umar is saying this. As a father, he's saying, you will not achieve, you will not get to that level like Aisha, the same way I am not like her father. Meaning, I know he loves Abu Bakr more than me. I can never be Abu Bakr. So I'm happy to be second best. You are second best and you stay that way. Prophet ﷺ didn't say that. Her father said that to her. But our mother Hafsa, she's a woman of her own mind. And in spite of the best advice from her father, she would do things her own way. And she would compete with Aisha. Many a times Aisha would get the better of her, but sometimes she would get one above our mother Aisha. Let me end off with one very cute story that happened between Aisha and Hafsa. So as we said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, when you go on a journey, and all his journeys when he traveled was basically for jihad. Even when he was out on jihad, he would take one of his wives or two of his wives with him, and the wives would really love this. They get to go on outing, even though it's warfare, but they get to go out. So Hafsa and Aisha was with the Prophet ﷺ on one of these journeys. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, so what he would do is he would spend one day and one night with Aisha, and then the next day, the next night with Hafsa, and he will alternate between the two of them. And no matter how busy his schedule was, even if it was warfare, whatever it might be, he tried to make a point to spend quality time with his wives. So what he would do is he would go riding with his wives. So about sunset, Asr time, they would go out for a ride, and they would talk, and they would go for a stroll, alone time. So, yesterday, the Prophet, peace be upon him, had gone out with Hafsa. The two of them went riding. So now today, it's Aisha's turn. And Aisha is excited. All day, she's excited. I'm going to go out with the Prophet, ﷺ, prepares herself, and she's excited. Before the Prophet, ﷺ, comes to Aisha, Hafsa goes to Aisha, and Hafsa says, "Oh, Aisha, look, why don't we swap camels? You take my camel, I take your camel." Aisha says, why would we want to do that? "Because my camel, Aisha, is taller than your camel. So when you two go riding with the Prophet ﷺ, you'd get a nice view. Your camel is short. You don't have a really a nice, you get to see more things." Aisha is like, "Oh, how sweet. What a lovely, you know, gesture you're doing for me, oh Hafsa. That's so nice of you." So they swap camels. Now Aisha is waiting. The Prophet ﷺ comes, and now he's looking for Aisha. He sees Aisha's camel. There's Aisha's camel, and he walks and he rides towards Aisha's camel. Obviously, on Aisha's camel is not Aisha, Hafsa, that's what. So he goes, and when he comes there, he finds his Hafsa. The two of them start talking, and the two of them go out riding. And Aisha is sitting on Hafsa's camel, and she's watching as the Prophet ﷺ and Hafsa go off in the sunset together, riding, and Aisha realizes this was not a mistake. This was a deliberate trick from Hafsa. She had deceived her, cheated her, and they had swapped camels. And now our mother Aisha, as I said, a very dramatic woman, her personality is so, I loved her drama, because in the hadith she mentions, Aisha herself tells us how when she saw the two of them riding off in the sunset and there was nothing she could do, she had lost the opportunity and she was tricked, she basically puts her foot and puts it in a bush and she says, "Oh Allah, send a scorpion or a snake to bite me, because I can't believe that I was so foolish. I was tricked by Hafsa like this. How could this happen to me? And there's nothing I can do except wait while the two of them go off riding into the sunset." We'll talk more about this lovely rivalry, this lovely relationship the Prophet had with his wives, and the relationship they had with each other. We will continue, inshallah, next week. For any questions, concerns, or comments, with Muhammad@gmail.com. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.